I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The North American Jaw Harpists host the 22nd North American Jews Harp Festival at the Cottage Grove Armory on Friday and Saturday, August 11th and 12th, presented by the nonprofit organization Music Money. The festival will feature jaw harp players from around the country, workshops, a band scramble, and more, and is free to attend. With me in the KLCC studios is one of the players, Nico Cornelius. Thanks for coming in, Nico.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, what first drew you to this fine instrument?
My dad actually told me about it when I was around 12 years old. It was around Christmas time. He said, hey, there's this little instrument you should probably get into. And I said, okay. And he just got it for me for Christmas. And it was a little Austrian alto, like a little kid harp. And I just picked it up instantly, and I just fell in love with it. And I was like when I was in middle school, and I just played it for years after that.
What is it about the instrument and the sound that you like?
I like that the fact that, for one, you are half the instrument, because on its own, the Jews harp, when you pluck it, it doesn't make any sound at all. Your body and your mouth and your lungs and everything, that's half of it. So you feel inside of you, it buzzes your like vision, and it's kind of like just riding a wave or something like that. It's just really satisfying to play, I think.
Why don't you give us a little sample of what you'd like to do with this?
All right. This is actually a harp made by Jamie Bebb, one of the guys in our group. In my opinion, one of the best American handmade harps you can get.
So yep. What makes that one of the best handmade harps you can get, in your opinion?
A lot of Jews harps are actually made here in America are made not handmade. They're made by machines, and they're never as accurate as, like, you know, handmade precision for a Jews harp. And just from my experience trying ones that have been made here in America, his harps have just been the most satisfying and just comfortable to play, I think.
You seem to have a great range of harps right in front of you here. There's a number of harps on the table. So what kind of different sounds and different instruments do you have going here?
Well, they're all from different parts of the world. Like right here, I have my Hungarian tromes, I think, if I'm pronouncing that right. They're made by this man named Zoltán Zilagi. He's one of the he's like a renowned Jews harp maker. He's been doing it for years. And one cool thing is all jaw harp makers, they name their Jews harps. So this one's called a Black Fire. And it's tuned in A, and it's pretty nice. And he has another one right here that's a little bit lower, actually, and it's called a Chancellor. It's also tuned in A. And let's see, like right here I have this one from it's either Russia or Siberia. I can't remember which one it's where it's from, but it's called a Vargin. This is one of the more expensive ones I have, but it's played by shamans, and it's a really rich one. It's crazy. They all have their own different sound and everything, depending on where they're from culturally and the different material they're made of. And they're all handmade, too, so they all vary.
These instruments have come from all over the world for millennia now. I know they date back to at least the 4th century BC in China. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge amount of history to this instrument, and yet there seems to have been, well, it seems to have died out a bit some in this country. Why do you think it's been such a cultural force, and why has it temporarily not lasted in this country as a force?
Well, actually, I was talking to a jaw harpist recently at Oregon Country Fair, and he's an older gentleman, so he was around the time that it started dying out. What he was telling me, which is true, I've looked it up before, is that there's a lot of stigma that went around about Jews harps because, as I mentioned before, machine-made Jews harps are not as accurate as a handmade one. And so for a while, a lot of jaw harps made in America were very poorly made. And because of that, the reeds that pass between your teeth were not as accurate. And they've been known to, I guess, break kids' teeth out before. So a lot of stigma went around that they were dangerous and that you could break your teeth out. So a lot of people were discouraged from that. And also, because of the jaw harp, that's what kind of led into harmonica and things like that. And harmonica really took over America. People love that. This is also what introduced the accordion. It's the same type of thing going on. It's the reed and the wind passing through it.
So what do you think can be done to lead a revival of this instrument?
Well, one thing we're trying to do is, for one, show that it could be any age range of people doing it. and the fact you don't need to be a musician to do it. And if you are a musician, you could take it as a very serious instrument. And also the fact that it's a really cultural thing, and it could really blend well with a really wide variety of music. Very wide boundaries, that's the thing. We want to show people its true potential and that it's a very serious musical instrument and that it shouldn't really just be considered this, you know, weird little oddity that could possibly break your teeth out, you know?
Are there kinds of material that work better on it than others when you're thinking about fitting into a band context?
Well, I mean, when it comes to the band context, you have to keep in mind which key you're playing in. And a lot of the best harps, like Zoltan Zilagi, he makes huge chromatic sets of his juice harps, like these Blackfire ones. He has all different range of tunings and stuff, so that's a really big thing you have to keep in mind. Different materials do also have different sounds to them, also depending on the size and just the way the juice harp maker designed it.
And of course, since the sound is coming from your body, it's primarily limited by your own musical imagination, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's infinite potential of what you could do on it, I would say.
You want to drop in a couple more samples of what you like to do on one of these things?
Yeah. Here, I'll play one of my favorite ones. I specialize in Nepalese mrchunga harps. Those are my favorite ones. This one's one of my favorites. It's called a rhombus, and it's made of brass. I have another one that's from Nepal also. This is my smallest one. And these two are also my cheapest ones. That last one I played, $15. Really good deal. This one is a $10 one, and it's really tiny. It's crazy sounding.
Nico Cornelius, one of the jaw harpists who will perform at the 22nd North American Juice Harp Festival, hosted by the North American Jaw Harpists at the Cottage Grove Armory on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th. It is free to attend. There will also be a meet and greet at the Axe and Fiddle in Cottage Grove on Thursday evening, August 10th. For more information, see the North American Jaw Harpists page on Facebook. Nico, thanks for coming in.
No, thank you.
For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen. You want to drop in one more music sample before we sign off?
Sounds good. This is one of my favorite ones. This is from Estonia, and it's called a Parma Pill, and it's tuned in D. Oh,